This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
855-212-4CBS, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage, giving away millions. During Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Coming up in 40 minutes, Eric Wood's going to join us. Eric Wood is going to join us. Former Bills offensive lineman, current analyst for the Bills Radio Network. We'll talk Bills with him. Also, we'll talk Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game. John Ledyard going to join us. Pewter Report. That coming up at 12:40 p.m. Eastern. 855-212-4CBS. I want to get to this Dan Campbell audio coming up in a moment. But first, we have to welcome in Anthony Pierno.
Hello.
For the top five subject.
What's up?
Hello, Pierno, baby.
Well, this will be the perfect segue into the Dan Campbell because
it was
inspired by Dan Campbell. You know, we had a couple of emotionally charged press conferences. We had Dan Campbell talking about, you know, players biting legs, and we had my New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh, all gas, no brakes. So today we're going to do our top five favorite wrestling promos.
Wait a minute. You mean in general or the moment?
What?
Do you mean like the people who can cut the promos, or are you talking in the moment? Like, okay, this promo from this day is in the top five. Are you talking like
that's what I'm talking about.
Woo! God, that's going to be tough.
No,
that's
it's
gonna be
not.
Oh, hearing all that, it's going to be so tough, man.
Dude, I ever... No.
No, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
You
don't get me wrong.
Believe me.
I'm not saying I don't want to do it, and I didn't say it wasn't...
See, no,
You always get so damn frustrated over this.
No. I think once you have some time to think about it, I think you'll get rolling on it.
Well, yeah, probably. It's just, I mean, actually, you know what? It's not that hard because all you have to do is look across the internet. If it's still relevant in 2021, then yeah, it's probably a great promo, right? Okay, fine. I guess you're right about that. That's a good top five subject, Pierno. Very well done. I'm not complaining that it was bad. I wasn't even complaining. I'm just like, oh, boy, this is going to be tough. Because if you think about the guys who could cut great promos, oh, lordy, Mr. Perfect, Jake the Snake, Stone Cold, Bret Hart, not so much. Not so much Bret Hart.
Not so much, but during his 97 heel run, there were a lot of good ones.
That's true.
Because he was speaking,
because
he was speaking truth. That's why it was so good.
That's right. Because that's what he was saying. He was telling the truth, and so he could do it.
But again, I don't want to give anything away, but you mentioned Stone Cold Steve Austin, and there's one obvious one that,
you know it's going to be in there. I'm sorry. You already know what's going
to
be in my
top five.
It's
not that hard. If you give it a little time to think about it, it's easy to pick up a lot.
You're right about that. 855-212-4CBS. Okay, so top five coming up at 11:20 p.m. Eastern. And I got to give it a little bit of time, so I'm probably going to have to break a little early here. I do want to ask about the cold weather thing coming up later. I'm going to have to put it out on a poll because – there's a lot of fans now who say, and I've always kind of been this way. In college football, I do think it matters. I think cold weather is different when it comes to college football. I always say that you guys want to have an 8-team playoff. The biggest reason for an 8-team playoff is that you got to play some home games, and that means Ohio State would be third. I'd like to see Ohio State host a game in Columbus in January against a team from the South. Either that team from the South kicks their ass and puts it all to bed, or Ohio State wins that game, and part of that's because of cold weather. Now, Columbus is not nearly as cold as what it would be as the Great Lakes, but you're not going to have a whole lot of greatness because Michigan decided that they just want to grind it out still on their leather ass with Jim Harbaugh, so I guess we can't count on Michigan for the foreseeable future. Maybe Wisconsin. Maybe Wisconsin could help out in the north. But I want to see that. But, man, in the NFL, I felt at least over the last 10 years, it's been a little more overrated. Guys are from all over the country. They fly in, fly out. They don't stay in the cities that they're in as long as they used to. Weather patterns, they practice inside because they want to get the good work in. Now, there's some coaches who swear by practicing outside in cold weather. And Belichick's been one of them. Famously, other guys have done it. But there's been a lot of coaches who goes, man, it's I got to get our work in. We got to get our work in before this. We're going to deal with this here, and we're going to go inside, and we're going to practice. I'd like to see what some of the numbers are. 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to say this. I want this to work. I just don't know if it will. Because I heard this the other day and I went, hey, babe. I used to get worked up about this and excited and motivated. And I thought this was a bit of a clown show the other day. Go ahead and hit it, Pierno.
This place has been kicked. It's been battered. It's been bruised. And I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't. But none of that matters. And you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language. All right, here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city, all right? And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up, all right? It's found a way to overcome adversity, all right? And so this team's going to be built on we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
And I had to text Pierno when I heard it because the first thing I thought of was this.
You know, they say all men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Small Joe and you can see that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% at best at beating me. And then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at Sacrifice, you got a 33 and a third chance of winning. But I got a 66 and two-thirds chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me, and he's not even going to try. So, Samoa Joe, you take your 33 and a third chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 and a third chance of winning at Sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one, and then add 66 and two-thirds percent, I got 141 and two-thirds chance of winning at Sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at Sacrifice.
That's so great.
I'm sorry.
He was pretty accurate with his math. People actually did that math, and like, he was pretty accurate.
I mean, I'd rather listen to Scott Steiner teach me math than have to learn Common Core. I mean, I'm serious, man. That's what it reminded me of, folks. Detroit, it scares me. I've been through this. I've been through bravado coach. I did this with Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens called in on his own accord before and did Super Bowl Super Browns with us and said hell yeah on it. Freddie Kitchens is a good dude. Freddie Kitchens is a pretty good positional coach. As a head coach, though, it was obviously a disaster. And so because of that history, I'm a little more nervous for you than I would be had I had not been through that experience. But to hear Dan Campbell go out there, and if you did not know that that was a press conference, if you were not – we're on Sports Talk Radio, so it's hard to do this because people are in the know now. But if you were to just play that the audio of it, for somebody who's not into sports, would they or would they not think that's just a fan on the news? Would they or would they not think that that's just a fan yelling about the team, this is different, this is going to be different. We've been through a lot in this city. That sounds like a Lions fan. That sounds like a coach in a movie. And he looks like a coach in a movie. And he looks like a football guy. And I don't think I'd say any of this to his face. I just don't think he's going to be successful. If he gets a new quarterback, he has a chance to be successful, and I'll tell you why. You can, if you're going to do a complete retooling, and who knows what they're going to do. If you do a complete retooling, you can do the thought of leadership comes from the top. The best teams in the NFL, the best team in pro football, their leadership has to come from within locker rooms. Guys have to become leaders. Mahomes is a leader. If Josh Allen is there, guys, it's not just on Sean McDermott. We overrate coaches when it comes to pro football constantly. It's got to be on the player. Tom Brady, what he's done with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bruce Arians isn't doing any of that. It's Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a legend to do that. With the Ravens, it was Ray Rice. With the Houston Texans, it was J.J. Watt. The keys have to be handed over to Deshaun Watson at some point here. There's other guys who can be leaders on football teams and have good, successful football teams. But it has to come from the locker room. But if you're starting off new, like Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, then you have a chance to build it from the beginning and then hand off that power. But when I hear Dan Campbell speak, you see what new football coaches are doing. Sean McVay, you've heard the stories. You see the way his mind works. Kyle Shanahan, you watch the way his mind works. Kevin Stefanski, everybody's quiet. They're looking ahead. They're looking to the next one. Brandon Staley, the same way defensively from what it looks like. And some of these guys aren't that successful. Zach Taylor was cut from the same cloth, or they tried to cut Zach Taylor from the same cloth as Sean McVay. It's been a mess. Dan Campbell looks like a guy who has everything figured out, and then they get a sack on third down, and then he loses his mind, and I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. I don't know if he's going to be able to think through a game without getting that angry. I don't think you can get that angry anymore in NFL football. The matchups, the talent, the rules that protect that talent, I think it's so much different than it was before. If I look at the glorious 1980s of the NFC and saw just one team against another team and who's going to man up and who's going to beat whose ass into oblivion, Buddy Ryan, Ditka, Parcells, those teams, Joe Gibbs going after each other, the Hogs, man on man, every single week, tough ass, football guy football. I think Dan Campbell's probably in the wrong decade. That speech, that's great in 1987. With the rules and how they protect, I don't think it's going to work this way. It makes me nervous. It makes me nervous for Dan Campbell. It makes me nervous for Matt Stafford. I think you kind of got a cartoon character over there on the sidelines. It makes me nervous for Chris Spielman. I've been a big fan of Chris Spielman for a long time. Chris Spielman was a man who played in the 80s. Chris Spielman was one of those guys. It was confrontational. It was right in your face. It was, I'm going to be better than you physically. It feels to me like Dan Campbell went in there and just said these things to Chris Spielman. It spoke to Chris Spielman's heart from when he was in the 80s, and now Dan Campbell's the head coach of the Detroit Lions. If you do a complete retooling, I think it could work. I also think we could be right here at this juncture with somebody else in Detroit next year. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. But we do have a new contender for the head coach Royal Rumble, which that will be coming up again soon. Coming up next, top five in honor of Dan Campbell, top five wrestling promos ever. Pierno, you've done it again, you magnificent bastard. 1140 a.m. Eastern, Eric Wood. It's Ken Cromin, CBS Sports Radio.
Holler if you hear me.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is going to be so much fun. Pierdo, I could kiss you, I swear to God. Eric Wood, 11:40 a.m. Eastern, former Bills offensive lineman, current analyst, Bills Radio Network. Talk to him about the AFC Championship game coming up. But in honor of Dan Campbell in his press conference the other day where... So wait, if you knock him down two times, he's coming after you three times? How the hell is that? Either way. In honor of his press conference where basically he says you're tired of hearing that bleep, he's ready to go after you. It was strong stuff. We got the top five pro wrestling. We have the top five pro wrestling promos of all time. I'm sorry, I'm watching one now. Okay. Pierno, as we always do, you start off.
All righty, got some Royal Rumble music going in the background. We're 1 week away, 1 week from tomorrow night, the Royal Rumble. Looking forward to that. All right, number five, one of the best guys ever to be on the microphone, Paul Heyman. There's a lot of different ones to choose with Paul Heyman.
Whoa.
You could go back to the ECW One Night Stand, the night that the Raw crowd wanted to try to hijack the show in Chicago, came out, he cut an epic promo. But I got to go back in 2001, the build-up to the Survivor Series, the Alliance versus WWE. Heyman went face-to-face with Vince McMahon in the ring, and Heyman just ripped Vince into shreds. Heyman is just all emotion is here. He is just letting out all that anger, the despair from the fall of ECW for killing the territory system. He just takes shots at Vince's character. He, he has some great lines saying that Vince took Hulk Hogan's blood and built the Titan Towers. He talks about how he stole Bret Hart's dream, and with that money, he bought himself an airplane and wrote WWF all over it. There's so many great lines, and at the very end, he also takes a shot at Taz, who's at the announce table nearby, and, you know, Paul Heyman's like, he was a wrestler, he was a great wrestler, he was a man, and now he's a fat, little, obnoxious color commentator, not even a good one. And then Taz gets up, and he chokes him out to end the segment. So, and just, again, Paul Heyman, just genius, because he's so smart. In the process of burying Vince, he's also promoting the pay-per-view. This is just a legendary promo from one of the best to ever do it on the mic, Paul Heyman. So that one comes in at number five for me. Number four, I love this one so much. Shawn Michaels back in 2005, Monday Night Raw. Michaels returns to the city that absolutely loathes him, hates him, Montreal, to promote his SummerSlam match with Hulk Hogan. So this is 8 years after the Montreal screw job, and he just plays with the crowd, spending most of the time talking about Bret. First words out of his mouth, "Who's your daddy, Montreal?" And then Shawn just continues with his own rendition of the Canadian national anthem. The crowd is just insane. They are on fire. They're booing. They're cursing. They're chanting. They start chanting, "We want Bret. We want Bret." And then HBK has a great line. He goes, "You want Bret? Well, you're not going to get him because I screwed Bret." And it was so much fun. You know, Michaels would eventually say if Bret had any guts, he'd come down to the ring and face him like a man. Bret's music hits. That place exploded. It was so loud. The pop was insane. I just could imagine if Bret actually did come out. And, of course, HBK was just trolling the crowd. He was out there for 15 minutes. That is so much fun. If you haven't seen it, if you remember it, you got to go back. Monday Night Raw back in 2005. Shawn Michaels in Montreal to kick off Monday Night Raw. That was so much fun. A great promo from HBK. Number three, the pipe bomb. CM Punk, Monday Night Raw back in 2011. Punk just touched on so many different things here. He calls John Cena an ass kisser. He talked about defending the championship in Ring of Honor or New Japan. He mentioned Colt Cabana. He questioned whether or not the company would be better off if Vince was dead. At the time, it just gave like a huge shot to Monday Night Raw, made it like must-see TV. You couldn't wait to see what was going to happen next, what Punk was going to say next. It just created a lot of buzz in the industry. And then just the way that he delivered it, like it really made you wonder what was real and what wasn't. And of course, that was just the starting point for a great run for Punk. It was the summer of Punk, and he wound up becoming one of the longest reigning WWE champions of the modern era. So the pipe bomb there. Number two, going with Hulk Hogan, 96, Bash at the Beach, the introduction of the New World Order, the purest of baby faces turns heel. The guy that talked about eating your vitamins and saying your prayers, he turned on his friends, and it just was an event that altered the landscape of professional wrestling at the time. And not that you would worry because it is Hulk Hogan, but this angle doesn't work unless Hogan delivers a scathing promo there at Bash of the Beach. And of course, Hogan delivers, and you have the image of all the garbage in the ring thrown by the fans because they were so upset at him, and that just adds to the moment there. It was just a great visual for the situation, one of the most significant events in the history of pro wrestling. So Hulk Hogan's promo at 96, Bash at the Beach. And then number one, 2 weeks prior to Hogan's promo at Bash at the Beach, the birth of Austin 316.
That's number one. Wow.
The iconic promo there with Doc Hendricks. Again, a promo that delivered two of the greatest catchphrases of all time, Austin 316, and along with that, that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so. Of course, Austin defeats Jake Roberts there at the 96 King of the Ring, and then he just goes on and proceeds to put the entire locker room on notice. And it was great how he also used the material from Jake's promo earlier in the evening when Jake talks about being a born-again Christian, and then Austin says, you sit there and you thump your Bible and you say prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. And then just, it launched Austin 316. And again, for people that don't know, I think most people do know, Triple H was supposed to win that year. He was supposed to win the King of the Ring, but because of the whole curtain call incident in MSG, he got punished. Austin wound up winning the 96 King of the Ring, and an iconic promo. The birth of Austin 316 is number one for me.
That's a pretty damn good list. Mine is, they're never as good as yours, okay? I have two that are honorable mention. You ready for my two honorable mentions?
Yeah.
All right, my first honorable mention is Scott Steiner doing math. It's not in my top five, maybe because we compared it to Dan Campbell, it should be, but my heart's my heart, my head's my head, and I cannot say that it's top five. But it would be top 10. It's that good. That people request him to do it. Like, doesn't he do Cameo or something like that, and they request him to do it? Like, it's up there. Also, Shawn Michaels' Sunny Days.
Yes, I forgot about that one. That's a good one.
Because I was watching wrestling when I was a kid at that time, and I didn't even think anything of it. I'm like, oh, that's – now I'm like, that is some real stuff. That's real heat right there, boy. All right, top five. Number five, Macho Man, cream of the crop. That it's all off the top of his head, that he just went in there and there was – the craft services table or whatever it is, and they got their coffee set up there, and he just took some creamers and hid the creamers and did a promo like that with creamers, pulling out, what was it, four or five different creamers just out of nowhere. And it was the cream of the crop and doing that. I could pick a lot of different Macho Man ones. I just love unjustifiably in a position I'd rather not be in. I just love Macho Man promos, and I love the cream of the crop. That's number five. Number four. Ric Flair and Arn Anderson versus Baby Doll after they injured Ole Anderson. This is a classic. Now, I was laughing about this during the break because I went back and watched it. When Baby Doll goes on set and points at Arn Anderson and says, you're next, and Ric Flair, the whole thing. You watch that for a minute and you're going, this isn't pro wrestling. That's wrestling right there. That's wrestling. Total chaos. People yelling at each other, loud, angry adults yelling at each other. Ric Flair on the ground saying that after she gets done riding Space Mountain, she'll be like this. Arn Anderson saying that women's positions are, what, cooking dinner and making babies, and that's where the line ends. I go, you can't say that on TV in 2021. Hell no. I mean, that's real loathsome stuff to say. That is wrestling right there. That is number four. Number three, Stone Cold 316 for all the reasons you just said. Number two, Dusty Rhodes, the Hard Times promo. I think it's perfect. He almost loses it at the end if you watch. The words start to get away from him a little bit. But he wraps it up. He's fantastic. When he's speaking to everybody, if you were watching and you were sitting in a living room anywhere in the country in middle America, Dusty Rhodes touched you that night. He came into your TV, just like he said, and took you with him. And it's such a great promo, and it's a memorable one, and it makes me miss Dusty Rhodes so much more. And number one, you had it on yours. I put mine at number one here. It's Hogan turns heel. You could tell that was, the last time before he was a bad guy before that was 83, right? Was it 83 or earlier than that when he was, in Japan? So this is, 13, 14 years of frustration. He wanted to say that, and he said it. And it changed everything. It started some great memories later on for me when I was a kid watching that to where I am now. And the fans throwing things at him, the booze raining down, the Cokes and the Pepsis and the waters and the beers being hurled at him, and Mean Gene is just crestfallen and indignant. Dusty Rhodes is telling him how he threw his career down the drain. Bobby Heenan saying he knew it for years. He's been trying to tell us for years how bad of a guy he is, and we wouldn't listen to Bobby Heenan because he comes, but whose side is he on? Bobby was saying it, and Bobby was right. It was so good. The best. That is number one. That's a damn good list. You always outshine me on this.
A couple more honorable mentions to throw in there.
Yes.
Mankind's heart-to-heart with Jim Ross on Monday Night Raw. That was a really good one. That was, really heartfelt. And also, the Raw is Jericho, the debut of Chris Jericho.
Yep.
I mean, interrupting The Rock, the biggest star at the time. That was a really big deal, Chris
Those
Jericho.
Those are really good ones. Those are really, really good ones. You always knock it out of the park with this. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up at noon, I got to get to the Deshaun Watson thing. We'll also take, who do you guys got in Super Bowl 55? I'm picking Kansas City. I'm picking Green Bay. Hate to say it, especially with our next guest. Let's see if he can talk me out of it. Eric Wood joins us. Bills Radio Network analyst, former Bill offensive lineman. He joins us next. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio right now. It's the latest sports update with Marco Belletti.
Listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Tomorrow on CBS, a spot in Super Bowl 55 is the prize when the Buffalo Bills take on the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. We get you set for the game starting at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific with JB and the guys on NFL Today. The AFC Championship game Sunday only on CBS. 1 hour from now, John Ledyard is going to join us. Peter Report, we'll talk Bucks and Green Bay with him. Joining us right now on the hotline, Eric Wood, former Bills center, current Bills radio analyst, at EWood70 on Twitter. I tell you what, Eric, I've never got to speak to you before. You look like $1 million in this avi on Twitter. What is it? Before, you and all these other linemen, you got Nick Hardwick, Joe Thomas, you guys are killing the whole stereotype, but once you retire, you just turn into a giant walrus. You guys all look like $1 million here. How hard was it to keep the weight on when you were playing NFL football, or is it now hard to keep the weight off for you?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It's an honor to be on with you, Ken. It was definitely hard to keep the weight on, to stay at 310 pounds when I was playing, but it's part of the job, and you got to be big to play in the National Football League on the offensive line. And then once my career ended, it definitely wasn't easy. The first 20 was pretty easy to lose, and then beyond that, it was nutrition and working out and everything that's not super fun. But once you get it off now it's a lot easier to maintain the weight loss now.
I mean, it hasn't been long since your career ended. I mean, we're all the same age here. Eric Wood joining us on the show. Do you find that the position, just offensive line in general, do you think that's changing to speed, changing towards more quick motion, quickness than where it used to be maybe when you started, back in 2008, 2009?
Yeah, I think you're spot on there, and I think guys are getting quicker and more athletic on the offensive line, but I don't think they're getting any smaller, if that makes sense. You know, you got guys like Quinn Nelson, who's 330 pounds and runs like a deer, and he's quick. I mean, those guys, it's becoming a lot more popular, I think, to play offensive line, especially as much as these guys are getting paid. Maybe some of those defensive end types are putting on 30 pounds, or maybe more of the tight ends are putting on 30 pounds and getting paid that big-time left tackle money. I always joke with my buddy Kyle Rudolph when we're together in the summer, like, dude, why don't you eat three more cheeseburgers, get up to 310 pounds, and let's get that left tackle money.
Eric Wood joining us on the show, Pro Bowl center for the Bills, current analyst. Find him on Twitter at ewood70. Okay, so how do the Bills go about beating the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow evening?
I mean, honestly, I feel like it's going to happen. Well, I guess I am a homer. I only played for one organization. I still work for the team. But when these teams face in week six, this Buffalo Bills team was a lot different than it is now. Their offense wasn't playing nearly like it is now. But Josh Allen was 1 week removed from a shoulder injury, we'll call it. Sure looked like a separated shoulder that he suffered against the Raiders. And then you combine that against the Titans. And then you combine that with the fact that they were out their starting tight end, Dawson Knox. They were out their starting corner, Levi Wallace. Matt Milano, their super talented linebacker, who would have been used in coverage mainly on Travis Kelce, was out for the game. You had Ike Butker with his first start along the offensive line. You had so many people out, new faces, that this is a totally different Bills team. And it's amazing. Sean McDermott in the first matchup against the Chiefs, he basically was willing to bet that his old boss, Andy Reid, could not run the ball, could not be patient enough to run the ball enough times in the game. And boy, was he wrong. The Chiefs had 46 rushes in the game at the tune of 5.3 a carry. The Bills only had 50 plays altogether on offense. So Andy Reid proved that he would be patient. Sean McDermott mentioned this week throughout the week that their defensive approach will be different this time. Last time they simply dared the Chiefs to run the football, and they did. They ran all over the Buffalo defense, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 161 yards himself. So this time the Bills are going to be more aggressive defensively. I think this offense is much better than it was in week six when these teams faced. And, I honestly like the Bills in this matchup.
Eric Wood joining us on the show. How surprised were you last week when Brian Daboll came out throwing as much as he was?
I guess I can't be surprised anymore. You know, the Bills lead the league in four wide receiver sets. Who would have ever thought that? You know, when I was there, we were still always saying, hey, when January football comes to Buffalo, which it finally did in 2020, when January football comes to Buffalo, we're going to need to be able to run the football. The weather's going to dictate it, so we're going to build our team based upon a strong run game and a good defense. Well, this year, Brian Daboll said, look, I don't care what the conditions are. We're going to still do what we do. The Bills didn't have a designed run play until midway through the second quarter last week. It's unbelievable. And the reason he's able to do that is because Josh Allen this year has gotten his completion percentage goes from last in the league to fourth in the league. But a big reason of that is because Josh is willing to take what the defense is giving him. And so it's not all shot plays down the field over and over. Josh is doing a great job of, hey, it's off coverage. Okay, we're going to throw a three-yard hitch here. Maybe the receiver gets a few yards himself. Well, that's an extended handoff. That's pretty much a run play. These swing passes, these flip plays off the jet sweep, those are pass plays, but they're almost extended handoffs.
I want to ask you about Brian Daboll, Eric, because I've had to go through a couple of different feelings with him over these last couple of years with the Buffalo Bills, and I'll tell you why. So I just started at my job in Cleveland when he was in Cleveland as the offensive coordinator, and we heard some not very nice things about his relationship with players and his relationship with Colt McCoy in particular. And I held that. I don't want to say harbored, but I held that against him for a while. But, you know, now it is. It is 2021. That was a long time ago. He was in his early 30s at that time. Now he's in his 40s. What has changed with him and his maturation process and his relationship with players, his relationship with Josh Allen? Because this is not, and thank goodness for him, this is not the Brian Daboll I saw a decade ago.
Cool. To your point, Ken, I always say it takes 4 seconds to make an impression and 4 years to change it. One seems like it's taken you about 10 years. But but to your point, you know, you get this impression of a guy, and how much can a guy change throughout his career? Well, he got two offensive coordinator stints in the NFL that went back down to the position coach level. He spent a bunch of time in New England under Josh McDaniels. Then he went down to be the offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama, went to that Nick Saban school of coaching rehab down there. He got to learn some tricks and whatnot from the college game, learn some of the spread offense, the RPO game. Well, you combine what he had prior to New England knew, you combine that with the Josh McDaniels philosophy. You then combine that with some of the college concepts that you'll see from the Bills, and then just personal development in the passing game and routes concepts down the field, and now you have this extremely dynamic, creative offense that Brian Daboll is able to unleash every week. And then with the relationship with Josh Allen, I mean, part of the reason that Brian Daboll is getting the head coaching looks that he is because of his relationship with Josh Allen. The mutual respect that they have for each other, the development of Josh Allen that Brian Daboll has been aiding in the process. And that's why you saw so much interest from teams like the Chargers, who want Brian Daboll to come work with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Eric Wood joining us on the show. And honestly, there's no, I don't harbor anything. I really can't. It's where you think one thing about a guy, and then you realize, okay, that's 10 years ago. You know, things can change. You can grow from an experience, and it seems that he's grown from an experience. And Josh Allen, this is where I caution some people, because I think that Buffalo has done a remarkable job with Josh Allen and their patience and their growth with trying to give him structure. You would certainly know much better than I do. But I also fear that his situation is still going to be an outlier with where we're at in professional football with quarterbacks, because I just don't think guys get time, but your patience with him has paid off. He is so much smoother. The way he plays compared to where he was in Wyoming, his growth has been something to see. And honestly, Eric, is this something that can continue, or is this something where you just got to make sure he's out of the woods and continuing to go through what he's supposed to go through to make sure that this thing stays as good as it is for as long as it can be?
We've got to see 18 games of it this year, so I think the sample size is big enough. And he's played against a number of remarkable defenses this year and still put up a lot of production that you would say that, you know, Josh is at a point of his career where he's kind of arrived. He's second in the MVP race, likely behind Aaron Rodgers, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback, having maybe his best season as a pro. He's likely the MVP this year. But, Josh, what a remarkable season. But, and to your point, you know, a lot of quarterbacks in the league don't get the time to develop like Josh Allen has, but I think every situation is different. This is a guy who started his college career at a junior college, then played at Wyoming. You could be more patient with a guy like this that has so much upside and really so much room to grow because of maybe he wasn't at one of these top-tier programs playing against premier competition every week with premier coaching. I'm not going to sit here and lie and even act like I know who Wyoming's coaches were. Maybe they had incredible coaches. I'm not sure. I say all of that. Every situation's different. And when the Bills got Josh Allen, his low plays were low, but his high plays were so high that you looked at it and said, man, we can just get him to eliminate some of these bad plays, these turnover-causing plays, these sacks that he's taken, whatever it may be. If we can eliminate those, his highs are so high, we have something truly special here. I think where you see some teams that don't let a quarterback develop, the highs aren't there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the great plays aren't as great as what you were seeing from Josh Allen. So you're more patient with him knowing what the potential is.
Eric Wood joining us on the show. How much does cold weather matter in general?
I mean, it could definitely play a factor in the game, especially when you look at a game like last week where Lamar Jackson's from Florida has, you know, he's playing cold weather games, never played in a snow game in his life. Those things can factor into a game. But when you got a team like Kansas City and a team like Buffalo tomorrow, those are two teams that are used to playing in cold weather. And so the fact that it's going to be fairly cold in Kansas City tomorrow, not that big of an issue. When you look at the weather forecast tomorrow, we could see some rain. Doesn't look like it's going to be a torrential downpour by any means. But a wet football can impact the passing game. Both these teams rely on the pass game. And while Kansas City's rush game run game looked so much better than the Bills in their week six matchup. On the season, the Chiefs only averaged 5 more yards a game than the Bills. It's not a dramatic difference of which team has the better run game.
Have you ever or would you ever go through a table?
I have not. Would I ever? Sure. I'm not going to say I never would. For the right donations to my foundation in Buffalo or something? Of course.
Well, get it out there. What's your foundation, Eric? Please tell us more. Before we let you go, tell me more.
Yes, the Eric Wood Fund under the Oshawa Children's Hospital up in Buffalo, New York. We assist families that have children in the hospital either through chronic illness or severely disabled. So, yeah, we can make this happen. We got time. Let's get this victory tomorrow night, and then we got a 2-week runway up to the Super Bowl, and we could definitely put a table bashing on the line.
Everybody heard it. You guys all heard it. It's all there. It's on the line for you. Check them out on Twitter, at EWood70. Great analyst, both on the ACC Network and obviously in the Bills Radio Network. Got to be a lot of fun for him. Hosts a podcast, has his website, ericwoodmedia.com. Contribute to the wonderful foundation. Eric, we wish you well. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We wish you well for all of Buffalo. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Truly appreciate it, Ken. Have a great one. Go Bills.
You too. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Eric Wood joining us on the show, former Bills center, current Bills analyst, and follow him again on Twitter at EWood70. Very nice stuff from him. Pierno, have you ever gone, before we go to break, have you ever gone through a table?
No, I have not.
I've gone through a table.
How was that experience for you?
It was a hell of an experience. I don't think I'd do it again. I've been through a table more than once. And
why'd you go through the table? How'd that happen?
I was not in my.
Were you drunk?
I was in my cups, should they say? Yes, yes. I was a much younger man at the time. I've never at a tailgate setting, but yeah, I've been through a table. Eric Wood, I'm telling you right now, make sure they gimmick the table before you go through it because that is a hard fall. 855-212-4CBS. Great stuff from him. Coming up next, I got to get into some of the stuff for Work or Shoot. And with Deshaun Watson, I think we're going a little crazy. I want to tell you who I think realistically has a shot to land this guy. It's Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.